talking with the experts.
Learn the power of asking great questions and leading with humility in episode 541 with Paul McGregor.
There's the words that we use when we're asking, right? That's important. Like if you ask a question that starts with why, people will be more likely to close down because, oh, actually, it feels like I'm being blamed through the question. Why'd you do that, Rose? You feel like you're on the defense when you're receiving that question. So, yeah, the words we use can be important, but more important than that is the intent we bring into it. I think when we're leading with the answer, which is so often what we're trained to do, we're trained throughout our education to be the expert, to have our value by showing up and saying, this is what it is. But when we do that, it can create a dependency relationship, especially when you're a leader, because other people go, oh, well, I need to wait until Rose is here because Rose will tell me what to do. Rose has got the answers.
Looking to elevate your brand? Advertise on Talking with the Experts and reach a global audience. With over 36,000 monthly listeners, your message will resonate with a dedicated and engaged community. Hosted by Rose Davidson, our podcast is ranked in the top 100 in Australia and the top 20 in New Zealand. Boost your brand visibility, connect with potential customers, and drive conversions. Our listeners are eager for innovative solutions and expert insights. Let your brand be the one they trust. Ready to grow with us? To learn more about advertising opportunities, contact us today.
Talking with the Experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts, where we believe that success is a journey, and every journey is easier with help from friends. That's why we bring you top-notch experts and real business heroes eager to share their lessons from the road to success. We delve into new topics each week, effective marketing strategies, innovative problem solving, financial planning, and team building. We tackle everything you need to know to grow your business and keep it thriving. Whether you dream about launching your first startup or a business veteran looking to shake things up, we've got you covered. With each episode, you'll gain knowledge, boost your confidence, and be inspired to take action. So, grab a coffee, make yourself comfortable, and join our exciting journey. You're not alone in this. We're here, guiding you, cheering for you, and celebrating each milestone. Let's turn your business dreams into reality, starting today. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. Today, it's my very great honour to introduce you to Paul McGregor. And as we all know, the world is changing faster than ever before, and we're all battling to remain relevant. And yet we are leaking talent and wasting time in meetings. And as leaders, we've been taught to have all the answers, to dictate strategy, to control the room when we meet. And unfortunately, that's not viable anymore. So in today's changing world, it demands a facilitative leadership approach. And one of those positions that you and your team can respond to is change and disruption. And we can do that quicker than ever before. And my guest, Paul, he is a collaborative expert. His passion is facilitative. That's a big word for a Thursday evening. Leadership. He's a facilitative leader, and he's passionate about all of those things that belong to that genre. And he helps leaders use facilitation to improve team performance. Paul has worked in all sorts of contexts. After studying law, he worked in government policy before co-leading a youth wellness initiative. And until recently, he was in a business lab, a collaboration consulting firm, before going out on his own 12 months ago. Paul, welcome to Talking with the Experts. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you for that lovely introduction, Rose. And don't worry, you are not the only person who mucks up that F word. Like, what even is that? Who came up with that word, right?
I don't know, but it's a tongue twister, that's for sure.
And I hadn't heard of it until I was probably 26, 27 years old when I was working in government. And we were in a work environment which was pretty typical in that a lot of people didn't enjoy their jobs. So I don't know if you've seen, Rose, the Gallup stats on what the state of engagement is across the workforce.
It wasn't very good while I was in the corporate world, so I'm pretty sure it's probably a lot worse than it was then.
Yeah, I mean, it's gone up and down in the last few years, but for the most part, right? Like, if you're sitting around a dinner table with yourself and four friends, the chances are that one person absolutely hates their job and is trying to quit. One person loves their job, and then the other three in the middle are just kind of muddling through. And so that was definitely the experience for me in my early days of work. And learning about facilitation was a big wake-up call for me because it showed me a different way of behaving and being and working together. So that was kind of, how that became such an area of interest for me.
I used to work for a federal government organization, and
Yeah.
facilitation was a real buzzword back in the 80s and early 90s when that sort of thinking, became part of, how we worked together as a team. We've probably been doing it for a long time, but they put a label on it, and we
Yeah,
had
right.
to these things to be able to facilitate and foster teams and do all that sort of thing. So it has been a bit of a buzzword, and it has been around for a few years now. But
Oh, yeah.
I think the idea of facilitation is just grown, I think, probably since it was first a thing.
And so when you first found out about it and started doing it, what difference did you notice it made?
I think management, it was a big change in how the management viewed those under them, and they were held more accountable to how they structured the teams with under them, and had to I guess don't keep as many secrets, and ask questions and find out what other people were thinking.
I love that. And I'm sorry, I've already turned the podcast around on you. I need to stop doing this, but I just kind of
All
can't help
right.
it. Like, curiosity has just bedded into me, and I'm so interested in, what's going on in people's work lives that puts up a barrier between them and the people they're working with. And I think there's so many things naturally in the corporate environment that make it hard for us to connect with each other and to do the kind of work that we signed up to do in the first place.
Absolutely. And the power of using questions, this can lead to changes in business. And a lot of people still don't know how to use the right questions to get the best out of their team.
I mean, there's some basics in terms of what kind of questions you ask when, but I think underneath that is actually you have to be willing to listen to the answer. So there's no point asking a question if you're scared of what you're going to hear. And if you've got that curiosity in you, then it doesn't really matter actually what words come out of you so much for the question. Like, people will feel your intent. And so, having studied law, we got taught how to ask questions that would trap people rather than questions that would unlock understanding. The questions that you hear in on the courtroom dramas of, so do you consider yourself trustworthy, Rose? And you go, but that's
I
what
was the
we got
same.
taught, right?
I
So
worked.
that kind of intent is not what we're after when we're in a workplace and trying to bring the best out of the people around us.
Having worked in law enforcement, I understand that,
Oh, yeah.
you had to ask the proper questions and at the right time and make sure they weren't open-ended questions, so that it was just a yes or no answer. So
I got pulled over. I got my first speeding fine recently, actually, Rose. And the question they asked me was, "Do you know why I've pulled you over, sir?" And I was sitting there going, "God damn you, I know what you've done. That is such a clever question." Because if I say no, well, then I'm obviously just lying. And if I say yes, well, then they're going to find me. And they did.
Absolutely, yeah. It is a very clever question.
Yeah.
And it's most often used in law enforcement, to either find out if you're guilty or innocent. So yeah,
Yeah.
it's very true. But in a business context, what types of questions can we be asking that can lead to the changes that are required in a business?
Yeah. I mean, you can use different questions at different times. So, closed questions actually can be really helpful to open someone up slowly. So, if you're talking to someone who is not talkative, if you ask them a nice big open-ended question, they will shut down. But if you ask them a couple of easy closed questions, that actually warms them up and gets them talking. So closed questions can have their place at the start of a conversation. They can also have their place at the end of a conversation when you're trying to clarify things and go, "Okay, so we're doing this next, right? So you're going to do that next week." And so they can kind of be helpful to sandwich a conversation sometimes. And then in the middle, you want what I call leading questions, where the question that you ask actually directs people's attention to something that you want them to consider and them to think about and them to work on. So, an example, one of my favorite questions is what I call the strategy question, which is, what can we say no to so that we can say yes to what really matters? And I love that question because we're not good at saying no. And this gives us a reason to say no to all the many things that we could do. Because in every day, I've got a list right here next to me of all the many things I could have done today that were good ideas. But actually, I started by crossing out the ones that wouldn't, I was going to say no to.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point. It is the question depends on the situation, but a
Yeah.
lot of team leaders, I guess,
Yeah.
don't use that sort of strategy because they don't want to. You're right; they don't want to hear the outcome of the story. So, there's a saying that don't ask the question if you don't want to know the answer. And
Yeah.
sometimes, answers can be painful lessons.
Yeah, they definitely can. There's the words that we use when we're asking, right? That's important. Like if you ask a question that starts with why, people will be more likely to close down because, oh, actually, it feels like I'm being blamed through the question. Why'd you do that, Rose? You feel like you're on the defense when you're receiving that question. So yeah, the words we use can be important, but more important than that is the intent we bring into it. I think when we're leading with the answer, which is so often what we're trained to do, we're trained throughout our education to be the expert, to have our value by showing up and saying, "This is what it is." But when we do that, it can create a dependency relationship, especially when you're a leader, because other people go, "Oh, well, I need to wait until Rose is here because Rose will tell me what to do. Rose has got the answers." And then, Rose, when you go on holiday or when you quit or when you're sick, well, then what do people do? There's this kind of vacuum that you have not allowed them to fill. So that's what happens when we lead with answers too often, is that it creates this dependency.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's hard for team members to make decisions if they've not been allowed to make the decisions in the first place.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
yeah, you're right. If the team leader or manager or whoever might be in charge goes on leave or goes on or leaves the organization, then the rest of the people under them are left floundering because they haven't been allowed to, be in charge or make a decision or facilitate a conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing that springs to mind when you were talking there is the rates of burnout that leaders are having at the moment. I don't know if you're experiencing this with your clients, Rose, but There's some research done here in New Zealand since the pandemic by someone called Professor Jared Haar, who's a professor of business at Waikato University. And it's called the Wellbeing at Work Survey. And he's been doing the survey about every 6 months since 2020. And back then, one in six people were showing as having a high risk of burning out. And the most recent survey a couple of months ago was one in two people. So many of us are just going harder and harder than ever before. And I think for leaders, when we show up with this expectation of I've got to have it all together, I've got to have the answers, that just puts more and more and more pressure on us.
Yeah,
So
that's why you need a
questions just
team.
kind of
That's
free
why you
that
need,
up.
yeah, you need to facilitate between team members and make sure that you are not the only, you're not the icing on the cake, that you're involving all the other ingredients that make the icing.
Nice.
So I guess, what is a way that leaders or managers can, facilitate in their meetings or any events that they might be holding?
Oh, it's a nice question, and there's a few elements at play there. The first thing is you've got to think of yourself as having that role of the facilitator rather than the role of the manager in that meeting. And so a facilitator is more like you're alongside people, you're guiding them as they figure stuff out rather than the manager who is coming with the answers. So there's kind of that switch in your head. And then for every meeting, you've really got to ask yourself, why are we running this thing? Because so many of us are overwhelmed by the number of meetings that we have. I mean, I remember my first job, Rose, which was in government, working at the Ministry of Justice. And we'd have a couple of team meetings a week. We'd have project team meetings. We'd have unit meetings. We'd have department meetings. We'd have a weekly stand-up. We'd have collaboration meetings with other agencies and
Yeah,
meetings
death by
for our
meeting.
level in the hierarchy. Like, it's just your whole week. And so for the average information worker, you've got 20 hours of meetings in your week. And I was reading recently in the Harvard Business Review where there were 76 companies which over the course of about 18 months reduced their meetings by different percentages. And then they assessed, well, how much satisfaction how was your job satisfaction? How was your productivity? All sorts of things like that. And the magic number seems to be about between 60 and 80%. So if you reduced your meetings by 60 to 80%, your productivity went way up. Your job
You're not
satisfaction went
spending
way
all your time
up.
in a meeting.
Your engagement went way up because we're just overwhelmed with meetings. So I've always got that question in my mind. Why are we coming together? What legacy do we hope that this will create? What is the ripple effect that we're looking for? And that changes our perspective about why we're here and therefore what we might do when we meet.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to be aware that, if you've got a meeting every single day, and I do know some organizations that have team meetings every single morning, and I don't agree with those personally. I think they're a waste of time because you're just sometimes hashing over the stuff that you talked about the previous day, and people get overwhelmed. They get death by meeting, and it's like they get overwhelmed with them because they think, well, I've got nothing to contribute to this particular meeting, but the manager's expecting you to say something, so
There's a wonderful book written by Al Pitimbali called Read This Before Our Next Meeting. And in it, he suggests that there's just two types of meetings. Which isn't true, but it's kind of a nice way of thinking about things. And one of the types of meetings is your brainstorming type meeting, where you want to have bean bags, you want things that you can have in your hand, and there's post-it notes, and there's, I don't know, all that sort of creative kind of stuff, right? And then the other type of meeting is a decision-making meeting. And for those meetings, you need an agenda ahead of time. You need reading material. You need to be prepared so that you can turn up and make informed decisions. And while that distinction isn't fully true, there's all sorts of different meetings, but I think that's a helpful one to actually go, which of those two directions are we now going in? And I think most of us don't decide. We just kind of go in the middle, and it's neither.
Yeah, I agree. I think meetings have to be meaningful, and I think meetings have to be have an outcome. And to have a meeting just because you're having a meeting, to me, is pointless. It doesn't lead to anywhere.
Yeah. Well, one other thing I'll add in there, Rose, is thinking about what happens beforehand. About a year ago, I had this day where I received two very different invites to very different meetings at the same time. So in the mail, we got this beautiful invite to a friend's wedding. It was thoughtful. It was like nice paper, and there was a website, and you went to the website and it told you what to expect. Here's the program, and this is what you wear, and this is what you should bring. And we were looking at it, my wife and I, going, oh yeah, this is going to be a cracking good wedding. And it was. And then on the same day, I got this invite from a client to a 4.5 hour long meeting with no information in the description. And the title of the meeting was RAG meeting, RAG. And I did not know what RAG stood for. Turns out it was the Regional Advisory Group. I later found out. But right, you just think of what that prime was priming me to expect for each one. And which one am I more excited to go to? So can we take some of what we do in other areas of our life, like making a wedding, amazing. We know how to prime and prepare people for it. And can we apply that same kind of care and consideration to a smaller number of meetings in our workplace? Like the outcomes from that on people's happiness and their productivity is just going to be outstanding.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. As I said previously, make sure that there is a proper outcome and that you're not bogging your staff down with, copious meetings because you can't get any work done if you're in a meeting all the time. Now, I guess one of the other things is why and how can facilitation, why matter. So why should it matter for business leaders to be able to facilitate anything in their business?
Well, let's go right back to that word itself, this confusing word that is hard to pronounce. It comes from the word facilis in Latin, which it means easy or ease. So facilitation is about bringing a sense of ease to hard things. And we're all doing hard stuff at work. And especially, with the rapid rate of change in so many areas of our life, we're being asked to adapt faster than ever before. So facilitation gives us this toolkit for leaders to be able to guide people through that. I think it was Steve Jobs who said something like, we don't hire smart people to tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. And to my mind, it's facilitation. It's this orientation towards questions that allows these amazing people around us to actually then give the best parts of themselves to the work that they want to be able to do. And that's what's going to shift us from having 4 out of 5 people who don't really enjoy their work, who don't feel valued, who don't feel heard, to actually being able to nudge more people to being engaged and valued in the work.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's the meaning of being a good leader is to let those under you shine, and so they can operate, so you're not there, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, Paul, you've got a book coming out. Tell us about that.
That's my early mornings at the moment, Rose, 5 a.m. getting up and getting the word count at the moment. So it's called Leading Questions, and the subtitle at the moment is something like, what would happen if you led with questions rather than answers? And in it, I'm exploring my own curiosity for what happens if I ask more questions rather than answers. And it's been really interesting for me to dive into some of the research around that, such as research on what brain scans are finding out now about how our brain responds when we're given information versus asked a question. And that just lights up. It goes into overdrive when someone asks us a question because it's like pushing a button saying, please do some work. So yeah, I'm just really fascinated with that. And then I've been trying to think through what are the best questions that leaders can ask to make full use of the goodness that they've got in their organization. And how do you ask those questions in a way that really allow people to respond thoughtfully and carefully? So that's what I'm exploring with the book, and both loving and hating the writing process in equal measure.
Any release date in mind?
I want to have a book in hand for Christmas so I can send it off to clients and go, here you go, enjoy this over the summer break.
Be lovely. Yeah. Okay, Paul, where can people find you if they want to work with you or listen to your podcast beyond consultation?
Yeah, nice. At paulmcgregor.co.nz, McGregor spelt MC. And yeah, I mean, thanks for mentioning the podcast. I've almost forgotten about my old podcast because it's been about 9 months since I closed that off. But yeah, there's 70 odd episodes there. That's mainly for people working in government who might be listening, because that was where a lot of my previous work was, helping them to work better with the communities that they serve. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, and you've got your website, and what services can people find there?
Well, what I'd point people to on the website is the resources page. So I think it's slash downloads, paulmcgregor.co.nz/downloads. And on there's a bunch of helpful things like templates, quizzes, tools that can help you to take the next step.
Wonderful. Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure. If you were to give some helpful tips or advice to somebody in business, what might they be?
Oof. You know what? Right now, I'd say give yourself a break and look after yourself because there's a lot going on right now. And how you care for yourself will show up in how you are with your people.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. Paul, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Rose.
Bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time. Talking with the Experts.